From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, and I'm Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, filling in for Tony this afternoon. Got a great show for you today, and let me give you a rundown here. What we've got is a repeat of some sort of a conversation that Tony had about a week ago. And it's regarding Oklahoma politics, but what I want you to remember as we get ready to introduce this show is it's just not about Oklahoma. Oklahoma is the canary in the mine, I would argue. What happens in Oklahoma, the reddest of red states, is likely a harbinger of things to come for the conservative movement and for the Republican establishment and the Tea Party and whatnot across the nation. So today's program is very critical. Yes, it's near and dear to my heart because I am president of a Christian college here in Oklahoma, but I really think it's important that you follow this story. So again, I'm Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, and here's the context for today's program. In recent weeks, Oklahoma lawmakers have tried to follow the courageous moves of Mississippi to pass a law that would protect and strongly held religious beliefs of Oklahomans. So last Thursday, the State Senate of Oklahoma was scheduled to vote on Senate Bill 197, the Protection of Freedom of Conscience Act here in Oklahoma. The legislation would have legally protected Oklahomans to practice freely their religious beliefs without fear of government retribution. It's very simple. The bill never made it to the floor, however, for one simple reason. There was a retaliation against four senators, Republican senators, that refused to vote for a $450 million tax increase, and the GOP leadership of Oklahoma retaliated against them and refused to bring this particular freedom of conscience bill to the floor. So on today's show, we have Oklahoma State Senator Joseph Silk, the author of the bill, Oklahoma State Senator Josh Buchan, the co-author of the bill, and Oklahoma State Senator Nathan Dom, who also was in favor of the bill. Remember that the website here at the Washington Watch is TonyPerkins.com. So if you want to go and go online after the program and review anything that we're talking about today or any previous programs, go to TonyPerkins.com. And remember that Tony's Twitter handle is at TPerkins. That's at TPerkins. So let's set up the story a little bit further, and we're going to bring on Senator Silk. So it was on March 15th, the Oklahoma Senate was scheduled to vote on SB 197, as I just said. It is titled the Protection of Freedom of Conscience Act. The act sought to codify into law the rights and protections of all Oklahomans to express and practice their religion freely in the public square without fear of government penalty or government reprisal or coercion. The Oklahoma Senate is composed, and this is very critical, composed of 48 total members, 40 of which are currently Republican, 40 of which are currently Republican. But late on the afternoon of March 15th, Senator Mike Schultz, President Pro Tem, and Senator Greg Treat, Majority Leader, both Republicans obviously, killed the bill. They killed SB 197 by refusing to carry it to the floor for a vote. Why? The reason was very clear. Retaliation against the bill's author, Senator Joe Silk, and co-author Senator Josh Buchan, both Republicans, for not voting for the $450 million tax increase I just mentioned. So in other words, these senators, good conservatives, refused to impose nearly a $500 million of taxes upon the Oklahoma citizens that elected them, and they were penalized accordingly, and their freedom of conscience bill was killed. So in Oklahoma, reportedly, the reddest of the red states, where Republicans hold an 83% majority in the Senate, the GOP leadership kills a Religious Freedom Act because a couple of their own refused to increase taxes by nearly $500 million. So let's get into the story. Joining us right now is Senator Joseph Silk, the author of SB 197. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch again.
Hey, how you doing, Dr. Piper?
Great to have you, and you have the remaining portion of the first segment here. So I am going to ask you a couple basic questions, and I want you to revisit what you've told Tony earlier in the program. But for those who weren't listening there, then I want you to go over it again. So tell us what SB 197 does. In layman's language, what is it, why is it needed, and then we'll get into what its status is and why it's dead.
Okay, so real simply, Senate Bill 197 just prohibits the state government from discriminating against a vast variety of people for their religious beliefs. So it includes adoption agencies, state employees, small businesses, so on and so forth. So it essentially just keeps the state government and prohibits the state government from discriminating against people for living out their conscience and their religious beliefs. And the need for it, as we've seen throughout the nation, there's been several cases of small business owners who have been sued for trying to live out their beliefs in their business, and a lot of them have lost businesses and so on and so forth. So what Senate Bill 197 did was just said, in Oklahoma, the state government will not do that.
All right, so what you're saying is in Oklahoma, the reddest of red states right now, there is no state law that would protect the florist, the baker, the photographer, or anybody else that doesn't want to compromise their religious faith and get involved in a religious ceremony, i.e. a marriage, in a manner that compromises their basic orthodoxy or convictions. We have no state protection right now. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly right. There's nothing in state law that would prohibit the state from actually discriminating and penalizing small business owners or even state employees or other members of the state from doing that. And unfortunately, it's sad that it's like that, because I've talked to several business owners who would love to, you know, invest money and build wedding venues and so on and so forth. And there is a reluctance to do that, seeing that in other states there has been lawsuits brought up on small business owners. State employees have lost their jobs for just speaking their, you know, about their beliefs. And so there's a reluctance to get involved and kind of a hesitation to really live out your convictions in Oklahoma, because you're right, there is no protection in state law, and that's what Senate Bill 197 was going to do.
All right, tell us real quickly, why is it dead? What happened?
So about a week ago, on Wednesday, a week ago yesterday, late in the night, we had a bill that, as you stated earlier, would raise $450 million in taxes, some of them very bad taxes that every Oklahoman would pay, like a gas tax and the diesel tax would go up and stuff like that. And there was four Republicans who voted against the bill. And because of that and some of the thresholds that we have in Oklahoma for raising taxes, that bill did not advance. And leadership was very, very agitated and upset that we did not join the caucus in this massive tax increase. So then the very next morning, on Thursday morning, a week ago today, Senate Bill 197, along with some other bills that those other four Republicans, myself and the other three Republicans, had on the agenda on Thursday morning, the agenda was revised, and all of our bills were removed off of the agenda. And some of them were allowed to be put back on with different authors. Some of them weren't. One of them was Senate Bill 197, which died because the floor leader and the pro tem refused to put it on the agenda.
All right, and the floor leader and the pro tem, this is Senator Schultz and Senator Treat, correct?
That is correct.
All right, I'm going to play an audio clip here of Senator Treat last week with Tony on this particular program. Bobby, cue up that audio clip, please.
We're looking for another legislative vehicle to see if we can advance the same concept and not kill the issue for this year.
So do you support his bill?
Yes, I've supported everything. Okay. I'm the chair, co-chair in Oklahoma of the Religious Freedom Caucus. Tim Schultz came to me back in 2012, and I've been very supportive of everything dealing with religious freedom. Yes, sir.
All right. Senator, we now have your colleague, Senator Treat, admitting to Tony, and live on air, he's on record now saying that he supports your bill. He supports the language of your bill, and he's promised to put it in a different instrument and resurrect it. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'd love to see him do it. It hasn't happened yet. He does have two vehicles. He has a religious liberty protection bill that just focuses on religious adoption agencies. He could easily amend that language and put the language that was in Senate Bill 197 into it. Leadership can also draw up a bill at any time. They don't have to worry about deadlines. So there's two very simple vehicles that he could use. He has not spoken to me about resurrecting 197 like he just said to Tony last week. So we hope, you know, we hope that he will, but he has not shown any indicators that he's going to yet.
But he's on record on national radio with Tony Perkins saying that he supports the language of your bill completely without equivocation, and that all he needs is an instrument to use to resurrect that bill. And there's absolutely nothing in the rules of the Senate to stop him from amending the bill that he now has that would allow him to carry that bill with your language forward. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So his bill, we passed, so it is over in the House of Representatives now, but the author of his bill dealing with adoption agencies is the exact same author that I had on Senate Bill 197. So the House author would be more than open to amending that language just because he was already carrying Senate Bill 197 anyway. So he's got tools to do it. He said he's going to do it, and now the pressure needs to be put on to get it done and really protect Oklahomans.
And I'm going to give Senator Treat's phone number right now to all the listeners. It's 405-521-5632. That is 405-521-5632. One more time, 405-521-5632. That is Senator Greg Treat. That's T-R-E-A-T. Listeners, you need to call him, especially if you're in Oklahoma or if you're any place for that matter. Call that number and make sure that you let Senator Treat and his assistant and everybody else who's willing to pick up the phone, or even if they don't pick up the phone, leave a message at 405-521-5632, because Senator Treat has promised to Tony live on this program that he will not oppose. In fact, he will support Senator Silk's Freedom of Conscience and Freedom of Religion bill so that the people of Oklahoma can be protected. Senator, what else do the people need to know as we support you and support the other three senators that are trying to protect the freedom of conscience and freedom of religion for the folks of Oklahoma, but also to set a standard for the rest of the nation to follow?
Well, and I think you just said it. It doesn't matter what state you live in. If you're listening to this program, be sure to call Senator Treat. It doesn't matter where you're from, because the reality is when things like this happen, other states will follow suit. So even if you don't live in Oklahoma and you feel like your state needs this conscience protection and religious freedom legislation, get behind us to help Oklahoma follow what Mississippi's already done, and hopefully we can have a lot of other states join in the years to come.
Senator Silk, I just want to tell you personally, and I think I speak for almost everybody that's listening to this program right now, I'm grateful for your conviction. I'm grateful for your courage. I'm grateful for the fact that you actually care about the people of Oklahoma and our First Amendment rights, and that you think the state of Oklahoma should codify that into law. I recognize the retaliation you faced, and that it probably isn't all that pleasant in going through this. But leadership actually runs toward the storm. It doesn't run away from the storm. Leadership has confidence and courage. It doesn't capitulate, and it doesn't look for a compromise around every corner. It actually stands for something. And Senator Silk, I honor you for doing that.
Well, thank you, Dr. Piper, and we appreciate y'all's support and everything you guys stand for as well.
All right. Senator Silk, thank you so much. I'm going to let you go right now. Listeners, remember, 405-521-5632. That's Greg Treat, 405-521-5632. And you can email him at treat@oksenate.gov. That's oksenate.gov. treat@oksenate.gov. This is Dr. Everett Piper sending in for Tony Perkins. Coming up next will be Senator Brekeen, and he will talk to us about tax increases, retaliation, preemption vote, and more about this particular religious freedom issue in Oklahoma. We'll be right back after the break.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins from Washington Watch. You know, in all my years here at the Family Research Council, one of the things that encourages me the most about you, our listeners, is your willingness to help advance the things that matter most: faith, family, and freedom. Your support is enabling FRC to play a major role in the current administration's actions to protect religious freedom, as well as rolling back threats to pastors' free speech rights, just to name a few. But your help is needed for the work ahead as we seek to protect religious freedom in the military and finally defund Planned Parenthood. Please stand with FRC right at this moment. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or make a gift by calling 1-800-225-4008. Again, our number 800-225-4008, or go to TonyPerkins.com. God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
Hi there. Let's play a word association game. Are you ready? When I say Washington, D.C., what's the first thing you think of? If you're like many Americans, a word like corruption might top the list, but Christian might be the last thing you'd associate with Washington, D.C. Well, the truth is that Christians have voice in our nation's capital. For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been working daily to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview. When the Christian worldview is being pushed out of the public, FRC is there to stand firm on a biblical vision for America. Will you stand with us? To learn more about Family Research Council and to find out how you can stand with us in defense of faith, family, and freedom, please visit FRC.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news and ways you can take action. Again, that's FRC.org. Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass.
Where is our country headed? Are we moving in the right direction? Mark your calendar for the Values Voter Summit on September 21st to 23rd in Washington, D.C. and join hundreds of Americans that want a culture in which human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, House Speaker Paul Ryan, Kirk Cameron, Kellyanne Conway, Secretary Ben Carson, and Sean Hannity. Don't miss the early bird price of $99 at valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This obviously isn't Tony. This is Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, sitting in for Tony this afternoon. Remember, we are going to take calls in the last quarter of the hour. And remember that call-in number is 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. And I will take calls in the last quarter of the hour. Well, we're spending time today talking about Oklahoma. Talking about my state, talking about the reddest of red states. Some of you in Ohio and Indiana and Texas and Kansas and Nebraska and whatnot may be thinking to yourselves, why do we care? Why are we focusing on this? Is it just because Piper's from Oklahoma and he doesn't have anything else to talk about? Well, indeed, that is not the case. I would argue, and I think rightfully so, that Oklahoma is the canary in the mine because we are the reddest of red states. We do have 83% of our state Senate is GOP. It's Republican, supposedly conservative. But yet, we only have four senators out of 48 that voted against a half billion, just shy of a half billion dollars of tax increases for the citizens of Oklahoma. And as a result of that, retaliation was ventured upon those four by the GOP leadership, Pro Tem Mike Schultz, Senator Schultz, and Majority Leader Senator Treat, ventured that retaliation upon Senator Silk and his co-author, Senator Brekeen, and basically killed the religious freedom bill. So we got GOP conservative, quote unquote, Republican leaders killing a religious freedom bill and a freedom of conscience bill in the state of Oklahoma. And if it can happen here, it will happen in your backyard also. So you should care about this program. I want to bring on Senator Brekeen right now, and I want to talk a little bit more about this story. Senator Brekeen, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Dr. Popper.
Great to have you here. So we had Senator Silk on. You probably listened to a little bit of it. I don't want to just regurgitate the same story,
right.
So I'm going to go a little bit different angle with you. I'd like you to talk generally about Oklahoma politics. Are we as conservative as we think we are? Are we really all that red? And if so, why are we having problems with tax increases, votes of retaliation against conservatives who are trying to protect our religious freedom? And there's this thing called the preemption vote that you explained to me that took place with regard to Tulsa. So I'd like you to just talk a little bit about that. You've got about 5 minutes. I'm going to interrupt here or there just to redirect, but go ahead and run with this story a little bit and educate us, will you?
Yeah, happy to. So this is my eighth year in the Oklahoma State Senate. I came in very excited, believing that Republicans would adhere to a platform that was for traditional marriage, traditional family values, the tax policies would be just for everyone. We wouldn't abide by corporate welfare, things of that nature. And I've been greatly disappointed in the last two or three years, the shift that I've seen. This entire escapade is just a symptom of the root, and that is that we're not tethered to what Republicans say that they believe in.
And what should that be?
I'm sorry?
And what should that be? What should we be tethered to?
Well, there's a platform that I think that when people are voting, that when the evangelical conservative is being used, and I'm going to use that word, when they're being used by Republicans who've learned to be a campaign conservative and say the right things, mention traditional values, not just mention the word, but put it on their flyers. Make sure that they put pro-life on their campaign flyers. What happens, though, is, and I've seen this, is in the Oklahoma State Capitol, you mentioned Senate Bill 694, the preemption bill last year, and I'm going to kind of highlight that. I saw this coming last year of where Oklahoma was headed on religious liberty and how that overlaps with people's position on tax policy. And I would say that we've lost our way on both issues. Senate Bill 694 in 2017, people can look it up at oklegislature.gov. You can see the votes. But that bill was designed as a forerunner to what Senator Silken and I worked on this year and what he spoke about just a moment ago. This was a bill that would have followed the model of Tennessee and Arkansas, stopping municipality city councils in creating fundamental rights. In Oklahoma, we have Tulsa, we have Norman, we have Oklahoma City, and through their vote of their city council, they're taking away the rights of individuals to be able to have rental property and be able to say, I love you, but I'm sorry your lifestyle is not conducive to what I believe, and I'm convicted over that. Therefore, you know, there are other people that will rent to you, but I have convictions over that. We have cities all across America that are on housing ordinances and on public accommodations, bakers, candlestick makers, et cetera. The cities are trumping what state and Congress, as establishment of fundamental rights, these city councils are coming in and saying, no, you have to do these things. So we had this bill last year that go ahead.
The city council, I just want to make this clear, the city council is trumping state authority and even federal authority and telling local businessmen and businesswomen that they have to violate their conscience. And you were trying to correct that by codifying into law a state requirement that would do what?
That preemption applies, that no city council could establish a fundamental right absent Congress or the state acting. And so this is happening all across America. This is where the LGBTQ community is focused. They are trying to find these liberal activist city council members to go in and start this so that they can rewrite the culture's understanding of what's permissible. And so we were going to do what Tennessee and Arkansas have successfully done. Out of 40-plus senators last year, Republican senators, I had 18 Republican senators on record to vote for that bill, and 20 Republicans voted against that bill. And it should have been an easy vote for people who, if they really were tethered to the platform that says we support traditional family values and the right of conscience and the right of the First Amendment not being trumped by sexual preference, it should have been an easy vote, but it wasn't. And that is a precursor to me, that Senate Bill 694, showing me where our caucus had drifted and how we'd gotten off course.
And we've got very limited time here, but the bottom line is this. Your bill would have protected the people of Oklahoma from this arbitrary, I'm going to call it this unilateral move by local cities, to basically trump the civil rights and the freedom of conscience and freedom of religion of the people of Oklahoma. And the state GOP leadership, the Senate leadership, Greg Treat and Mike Schultz, were part and parcel of those that opposed you. Is that correct?
Senator Treat voted no on that bill. Senator Schultz voted yes on that bill.
Okay. So I apologize to Senator Schultz on that. Senator Burkine, thank you for joining us. I'm going to have to let you go. I really appreciate your time. Thank you for your courage and your leadership.
Thank you.
Coming up next, I'm going to have Senator Dahm, another Oklahoma senator, and he is going to talk about his freedom of speech bill that was killed by the GOP leadership here in the state of Oklahoma. This is Dr. Everett Piper sitting in for Tony Perkins, and we'll be right back after this break.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. In an exclusive FRC Speaker Series event, Reverend Dean Nelson and Colin Hanna explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, husband, and father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. This is because transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. Yet even the federal government has stated that there is no evidence that gender reassignment surgery has improved health outcomes. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, sitting in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. Remember that if you want to go to this website and revisit this particular show or shows that preceded it, go to TonyPerkins.com. That's TonyPerkins.com. And remember that Tony's Twitter handle is T Perkins. That's at T Perkins. Also, remember the call-in number is 866-372-7234. That's 866-372-7234. And I will be taking calls after a brief monologue at the last quarter of the hour. All right. So far we've had Senator Silk telling us that the Freedom of Conscience bill was killed by GOP leadership here in the state of Oklahoma, the reddest of red states. I also had Senator Brekeen on, and he was the co-author of that bill. He also was responsible for the authoring of a preemption bill here in the state of Oklahoma, which would have again given the state authority over any local municipalities such as Tulsa, Oklahoma City, and whatnot, if those cities were establishing local laws that were in violation of state rights or federal First Amendment rights. It would have given the preemption right to the state to stop the local municipality from taking away your religious freedom. And we had GOP leadership, more specifically Greg Treat, vote against that. I'm going to give you the number again on Greg Treat. It's 405-521-5632. But I'm taking too much time. We need to get Senator Dahm on right now. Senator Dahm, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Dr. Piper, great to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
All right. I took too much time in that intro. So I would like you to talk about your freedom of speech bill that was killed. So we had a freedom of religion bill that was killed, and then we had this preemption bill that was killed, and now we have a freedom of speech bill that you authored that was killed by GOP leadership. Tell us about it and tell us why.
Correct. So the bill was Senate Bill 1202, and it was a campus free speech bill. You are very well aware of what is going on in college campuses, university campuses across the U.S. I think most people are aware of the movement to disinvite or shout down or even riot when conservative speakers are brought on campus. And so this bill would have implemented some protections on college campuses, university campuses in Oklahoma, not just to allow speakers to come in, but to make sure and protect the students' First Amendment rights so that they would be able to have that free expression that is protected in the Constitution. So that's kind of in a nutshell what the bill would have done. Now, I saw kind of the writing on the wall, saw some things happening last week before our bills were all yanked, and I had several bills that were not even granted a hearing, including a Fourth Amendment protection bill, which is a totally different subject, wasn't even granted a hearing. But because I kind of saw some of these things moving around, I started the process of transferring my bill over to a different Senate author. And I was able to do that and give this bill over to Senator Julie Daniels from up there in Bartlesville, your area. And she presented the bill on the floor because I was told that since I voted no on the almost a half a billion tax increase, that none of my bills would be heard on the floor. I transferred it over to her. They did hear the bill on the floor under her name, and 13 Republicans voted for it, and 22 senators, including 6 Democrats, the remainder were Republicans, voted no and killed the bill that would have protected free speech on college campuses in Oklahoma.
And among those senators that voted no was the pro tem and Senator Treat. Is that correct?
I believe the pro tem voted no on it, but Treat voted yes on it.
Okay. So, again, I apologize for anything with regard to Senator Treat there. But the bottom line here is we have a pattern. We have a pattern of GOP leadership killing bills that would actually reinforce and support the First Amendment rights, the freedom of speech rights, the freedom of religion rights, the freedom of expression and freedom of conscience rights of the people of Oklahoma. And it's the GOP leaders and the GOP Senate that is overwhelmingly voting no on these things.
Correct. We've seen several years of it. This year has been the worst, in my opinion. It's disappointing to see that we have so many people that are willing to do that, but that's why myself and so many others have said it's not enough just to have Republican majorities. We need actual conservatives, true conservatives that understand the Constitution, because we all swear the same oath to uphold the Constitution, but it's amazing how many of them are willing to just blatantly violate that and say, no, I don't care about the First Amendment part of the Constitution, even though I swore an oath to uphold the whole thing. I'm not going to protect students' rights because they're on a college campus here in Oklahoma, and that's wrong.
In about 60 seconds or less, you just basically said that you believe that there's actually a violation of the oath to office, that we are not upholding the Constitution of Oklahoma or the Constitution of the United States. Is that correct?
Correct, yes, because we all swear that oath to uphold it. And when you have the opportunity to protect any of the amendments, whether it's the First, the Second, we've talked about the Fourth Amendment as well, any of those rights that are God-given rights, constitutionally protected rights, it's unfortunate that we even have to pass legislation to reinforce and protect those rights. But because they are being, there's such an affront on them, there's such an attack on them, we have to do that sometimes. And for you to be, or anyone to be willing to not support that, shows a disregard, in my opinion, for the Constitution.
Senator Dahm, I really appreciate your courage and your leadership, and you're very consistent. You are a reliable vote and a true conservative. Thank you. Thank you for being on Washington
Watch. Thanks, Dr. Piper.
All right. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back. I will give a monologue, and then we are going to take some phone calls. So I encourage you to call in 866-372-7234. And don't forget, the call number for Senator Greg Treat in Oklahoma is 405-521-5632. Be right back after this break.
Somewhere out there right now, a teacher is using a new technique, not to teach some new math method, but to control the emotions of children in the classroom. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it?
It's not. Social-emotional learning, known as SEL, is a new catchphrase that now dominates public education policy. However, hidden behind the SEL claim of building kids' self-confidence is a statist agenda of social engineering that insists on total conformity of thought. It disregards the genuine individuality of students and their family relationships and requires monitoring and tracking of their emotions. Don't miss FRC's new speaker series event featuring Stella Morabito, in which she discusses how SEL is programming our children by enforcing conformity, invading privacy, and undermining the influence of family and faith in a child's life. Learn more at frc.org/SEL. Again, that's frc.org/SEL.
Most people remember Frederick Douglass as a fiery speaker who denounced slavery and advocated for the civil rights of African Americans and women. What is less known is Douglass's commitment to faith and family. The month of February marked the bicentennial of Frederick Douglass's birth, so it is a fitting time to reflect on the legacy of this great author, scholar, humanitarian, and entrepreneur who served five United States presidents. In an exclusive Family Research Council speaker series event, Reverend Dean Nelson, chairman of the board for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, and Colin Hanna, president of Let Freedom Ring, explore the life of Douglass as a Christian minister, a husband, and a father, and examine how his legacy can be an example for Christian citizenship today. To view this important event, go to frc.org/Douglass. Again, that is frc.org/Douglass.
Hello, this is Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council here in Washington, and we're defending and advancing the things that matter most, faith, family, and freedom. Please stand with us right now. Our work depends on people like you who truly care about the future of our nation. You can make your gift by going to TonyPerkins.com or by calling toll-free 800-225-4008. Again, our number, 800-225-4008 or at TonyPerkins.com.
Who is speaking up for Christians in Washington, D.C.? For over 35 years, Family Research Council has been your voice for advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture from a Christian worldview in our nation's capital. Stand with us as we defend the truth and preserve the vision that our founding fathers had for this country. To learn more about FRC, go to frc.org and follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest news.
Welcome back to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, sitting in for Tony this afternoon. And you know the theme of the day. The theme of the day is the compromise of religious freedom, the compromise of freedom of conscience, and the compromise of freedom of speech here in the reddest of red states, Oklahoma, because our conservative senators are being overruled by GOP leadership. Yes, I said that. Our conservative senators are being overruled by GOP Republican leadership in a Senate that is 83% Republican. 83% Republican. These guys can't get their bills passed. They can't even get them heard. They can't get them on the floor for a vote because their bills are being killed by GOP leadership. I'm going to give the numbers again for you to call. And I strongly encourage you to do so. It'll take you 30 seconds to make these phone calls, to make your point, and to help these men that have had the courage to do what's right. Greg Treat needs to be called. Senator Greg Treat is one of those that's been killing the bills. It's 405-521-5632, 405-521-5632. And the pro tem for the Oklahoma Senate right now is Republican Senator Schultz, Mike Schultz, and that's 405-521-5612, 405-521-5612. Call, express your concerns, support these men that are standing for your religious freedom, your freedom of conscience, and your freedom of speech. And there is, it's unconscionable that we have a Republican Senate in the reddest of red states that can't support those things. It's unconscionable. Let me read to you a letter that I sent to the Oklahoma Senate the day before they were supposed to vote on SB 197, the Freedom of Conscience Bill. Here's what it says. Dear Oklahoma Senator, Oklahoma Wesleyan University is one of your state's premier universities, located in Bartlesville. It has served Oklahoma citizens as well as guests from around the world since 1909. Oklahoma Wesleyan is proudly grounded in the 1,000-year tradition of the liberal arts, and as such, it unapologetically stands for liberty, intellectual liberty, and personal freedom. Freedom of thought and freedom of expression, freedom to agree and freedom to dissent, freedom to believe and freedom to dispute, freedom to pursue truth to its logical end regardless of what those who disagree might think or propagate, freedom to hold fast to the very words of Jesus Christ, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. I have served as Oklahoma Wesleyan's president for 16 years, and it is in this capacity that I approach you today with a singular cause. Freedom. Put simply, I am asking you and all of your colleagues in this Senate to cast your vote to protect the intellectual and religious liberty of all citizens, all the citizens that you have pledged to serve. The question before you today is really quite simple. What power should the government have over its citizens when it comes to personal convictions, religious beliefs, and the freedom to act and live in accordance with one's own faith and conscience? Or stated otherwise, should the government ever claim the power to direct or prohibit the religious expression of its citizens? For example, should the government ever have the power to establish that a Jewish owner of a meat processing business be legally forced to butcher pigs and thus provide ham for an anti-Semite's wedding? Should the government have the power to establish that the Muslim owner of the local newspaper be forced to print Charlie Hebdo cartoons? Should the government have the power to establish that the Anglican owner of a convenience store must sell bread and wine to a Satanist church for a mock Eucharist? Or should the government have the power to establish that PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, be forced to advertise for the NCBA's, the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, annual convention? If the answer to all of the above is no, which I surely hope it is, then how in the world can we pretend that the government should have the power to tell an order of nuns that they must include contraception in their health care, or a Catholic florist that she must participate in a religious service that directly violates a key sacrament of her faith? Don't these women understand their faith, their business, and even their bodies a lot better than any government? I am well aware that some who oppose SB 197 do so in the name of tolerance. But I ask you this, is their objection really tolerant? When they say that they can't tolerate such intolerance, does the irony go unnoticed? Imposing ideological animus, moral indifference, and religious syncretism on the Catholic florist, the local Muslim businessman, or the evangelical faculty at Oklahoma Wesleyan University is the antithesis of tolerance. It's totalitarianism. Vote for SB 197, for in doing so, you are honoring and strengthening our country's long-established wall separating church and state. Voting against SB 197 breaches that wall by inserting the state into the very polity of the church. Please, please vote for Senate Bill 197. Please vote for liberty. Please vote for freedom. Signed, Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University. Okay, that was my letter. But in spite of that letter, in spite of that, and in spite of the fact that we are seeing the religious freedoms of bakers and photographers and florists and private chaplains and Christian ethic educators such as myself being compromised across the land, Senator Mike Schultz, President Pro Tem, and Senator Greg Treat, Minority Leader, both Republicans killed Senate Bill 197 by refusing to carry it to the floor for a vote. So, again, and I repeat myself, in Oklahoma, reportedly the reddest of red states, where Republicans hold an 83% majority in the Senate, the GOP leadership kills a Religious Freedom Act because a couple of their own refused to increase taxes by nearly $500 million on the people of Oklahoma. I don't know what else to call this other than shameful. Why do we even bother to elect Republicans? Mark my words. Oklahoma, as well as many other states will become blue in the next election season because of such hypocrisy. Many voters are concluding that it would be better off if they just elected Democrats who are at least honest with them rather than Republicans who are not. Many voters are going to decide that it's better to have the devil you know than the devil you don't. That's my monologue. I believe I have a caller. Rich in Louisiana. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Dr. Everett, I'm sorry, I have a real bad connection. I just have a question, then I'll hang up.
All right, I can hear you.
You know how we tried to get Senator, or actually Congressman Ryan and Senator McConnell from being the federal Congress leaders? Can't they do something like that? If 83% of the Congress folks there are Republicans, can't they?
Rich, I think I lost you. I'm going to wait a second. Rich, are you still there? Okay, Rich, I think what you were asking is, can the majority of the Republicans vote out the leadership? I don't know if that's technically possible in Oklahoma right now, so I'm going to plead ignorance on whether that's a technical possibility. What I do know is that's pragmatically probably not going to happen, and here's why. most of the GOP are following the leadership like lemmings. They're following these leaders lockstep. They're doing what they're told to do. And that's why you only have four out of 48 senators, four out of 48 senators voted against $500 million of tax increases for the people of Oklahoma, over $450 million. So we don't have the willpower, because I think what the three senators we interviewed today, Senator Silk, Senator Burkine, and Senator Dahm, have told you is that they're standing relatively alone, and there are few others. Yes, there are a few, but there are few others that are willing to stand for the conservative principles that the GOP supposedly represents, that the reddest of red states supposedly exemplifies. So what they're saying is we basically have a ruse. We have a ruse. We don't have a red state. We have a state that's basically perpetuating a ruse. And the way to correct that is for you, the callers, to call in and make your point known to these men, because that will make a difference. That will change them. 405-521-5632 is Greg Treat, and 405-521-5612 is Mike Schultz. Call them. Express your concerns. Stand for religious liberty. Stand for the freedom of conscience. Stand for the freedom of speech. And let them know that their opposition is completely unacceptable. Rachel, Mississippi, was it? Rachel from Mississippi. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
What can I do for you, Rachel?
I just wanted to call in and give an update. I called the phone number that you gave out earlier just to encourage the senators to uphold their promises to the people and to, you know, not forget to do what they've told us to do. And their mailbox is actually completely full. So I'm going to try again tomorrow, but I just wanted to encourage everybody to keep on trying to call these people, because this is not okay that they are not upholding what they've promised us. You know,
Rachel, thank you.
Thank you for their promises.
Absolutely, Rachel. Thank you for doing that. And let me take it a step further. That is not unpredictable. In fact, that's going to happen. People, you're going to call in and the mailbox is going to be full. That is because a lot of you are doing what you've been asked to do. Don't be discouraged by that, and don't refuse to call, or don't be negligent in calling because of that. Because here's what's happening. If you call and the mailbox for the senator is full, it should kick you over to the main switchboard at the Capitol. And that operator at the main switchboard does not want to be taking all your calls. They get a little irritated. They let the senator's assistant know, your mailbox is full. Do your job. Clear your mailbox. So you can be heard even if the mailbox is full. So make sure you do that. Call, even if the mailbox is full. Get kicked over to the main switchboard. Make your point. And you still will have an influence. David in Oklahoma, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, Dr. Popper, hope you can hear me okay. I'm not real political, and I don't follow all the bills and what they're about and so forth. But can you tell me, did this tax increase have anything to do with the teachers in Oklahoma receiving a raise?
Well, they're saying
it does.
I'm
going to hang up so I can hear you better on the radio.
Okay, good deal. Good question. And yes, the argument is that this is at least part and parcel to help with the fact that our teachers are underpaid in Oklahoma. But here's the deal, David, and I think you know this, and I'm going to assume that you are going to agree with at least part of what I'm going to say. And the OCPA, the Oklahoma Council for Public Affairs, will affirm what I'm going to say right now. The fact of the matter is, yes, teachers are underpaid in Oklahoma, but there is a solution to the problem. And that solution is to stop wasting money on administrative overhead in the state of Oklahoma. We all know in Oklahoma that we have way too many districts, and that we need to have consolidation of districts, and therefore fewer school superintendents and fewer administrators that are taking the tax dollars away from the teachers rather than allowing the teachers to enjoy decent salary increases and actually come up to a parity with other states. In other words, the amount of money that we have in Oklahoma to fund education right now is not the problem. It's the way it's currently being spent, and we're wasting money on administrative overhead and too many districts, as opposed to just needing to tax ourselves $500 million to solve that problem. We might want to get our fiscal house in order in the first place and actually spend the money wisely that we currently have. I have another gentleman from Oklahoma, Bobby Hoop. What was his name again? Claude from Oklahoma. Welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, I'd like to say that I came to Oklahoma in 1966. And when I was here, I was just a young person then, and it was always Bill's Path Forward, Highway Commissioner and Education. And people started voting for education because they kept on attaching the highway bill to it. And so the Highway Commissioner, then the gas bill, I remember when they turned out the gas. I mean, they charged so much for the gas bill that they say people could stop people from using so much gas to conserve. So when the people in Oklahoma stopped using so much gas, they went on the prices because they said people wasn't using enough gas. And when Ronald Reagan lowered the federal taxes like he said he would, Oklahoma sneaked and went on the taxes. And I looked at my bill, I said, how come I'm not getting any more relief from the tax? I looked up Oklahoma sneaked and raised the taxes up just as much as Ronald Reagan lowered the federal taxes.
So what you're saying, Claude, is
I'm not surprised at all that this is going on.
Yeah, what you're saying, Claude, is this is a pattern in the state of Oklahoma, and probably not all that unusual. We probably have the same problem in other states, whatever they may be, wherever you're listening right now.
Yeah, but
ask yourself the simple question.
They do one thing, and then when it comes to push the shelf, they do another. That's all.
Yes, we need to ask ourselves this simple question. Is our legislature, is our House, is our Senate actually spending the money wisely? Are they being honest with us? Are they being true to the principles that they promised when they ran for office? And in the case of Republicans, who fancy themselves as being fiscally responsible and fiscally conservative, why in the world are we taxing the people of Oklahoma, or at least attempting to tax them, an extra $500 million when we just need to get our house in order in the first place? Andrew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you. I like listening to your show. I mean, I've been telling people for years to vote Republican, GOP, you know, and now I'm pretty ashamed of them, especially on what happened with Oklahoma. You know, I'm going to, you know, everybody I meet from now on, I'm going to tell them, just look at the candidate and vote on that, you know. I don't care if it's Republican or Democrat or whatever. It don't make no difference anymore.
Well, Andrew, I think your point is a sobering one. And it's really the point I was trying to make at the end of my monologue, where I said, mark my words, Oklahoma, as well as many other states, will become blue in the next election season because of such hypocrisy. Many voters are going to conclude that we would be better off with Democrats, who are at least honest with us, than we would be with Republicans who are not. Now, let me make this point clear. I am not in favor of the Democratic Party or its platform. It's not pro-life. It is not pro-morality. It's not pro-religious freedom. It's basically ideological fascism rather than academic and intellectual freedom. I cannot vote for a Democrat for those reasons. But that aside, we need to hold Republicans accountable when they start parroting and mimicking the very behavior and politics of Democrats. This has been Everett Piper standing in for Tony Perkins this afternoon. Remember, we know the end of the story. We know who wins. Carry on the good fight and have confidence in the victory. Blessings and have a good day.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.